ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायं उदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अवद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति न इष्टिकी। Today we are continuing to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 30, entitled Description of Adverse Fruitive Activities, Text Number 16. This verse is a little hard to pronounce, we'll do the word to word. Vayuna Utkramata उत्तारः कफ समृद्ध नाडिकः काश श्वास कृत आयसः कंठे घुर घुरायते। वायुन उत्क्रमत उत्तारः कप समृद्ध नाडिकः काश श्वास कृतया सह कंते गुर गुरायते। वायुन उत्क्रमत उत्तारः कप समृद्ध नाडिकः काश श्वास कृताया सह कंते गुर गुरायते। वायुन उत्क्रमत उत्तारः कप समृद्ध नाडिकः काश श्वास कृताया सह कंते गुर गुरायते। Word to word meaning, vayuna, by air, utkramata, bulging out, uttaraha, his eyes, kapha, with mucus, samruddha, congested, nadikaha, his windpipe, kasa, coughing, swasa, breathing, krita, done, ayasaha, difficulty, kante, in the throat, gura gurayate, he produces a sound like gura gura. Translation as Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. In that diseased condition, one's eyes bulge out to the pressure due to the pressure of air from within, and his glands become congested with mucus. He has difficulty breathing, and upon exhaling and inhaling, he produces a sound like gura gura, a rattling within the throat. This verse doesn't have purport. We'll read the next verse. I'll read the next verse. Please listen. Sayana parichodadibi pravita svabhandubi vachayamano pina bhute kala pasha vashangataha. You have word to word meaning. Please repeat. Shayanaha, lying down. Parichodadibi, lamenting. Parivitaha, surrounded. Svabandubihi, by his relatives and friends. Vachayamanaha,
being urged to speak.
Api, although not. Rute, he speaks. Kala, of time. Pasha, the noose. Vasam, under the control of. Gataha,
gone.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. In this way, he comes under the clutches of death and lies down, surrounded by lamenting friends and relatives. And although he wants to speak with them, he no longer can because he is under the control of time. Purport. For formality's sake, when a man is dying on his deathbed, his relatives come to him and sometimes they cry very loudly, addressing the dying man, "Oh, my father! Oh, my friend!" or "Oh, my husband!" In that pitiable condition, the dying man wants to speak with them and instruct them of his desires. But because he is fully under the control of the time factor, death, he cannot express himself, and that causes him inconceivable pain. He is already in a painful condition because of disease, and his glands and throat are choked up with mucus. He is already in a very difficult position, and when he is addressed by his relatives in that way, his grief increases. Om ajñānata mirandasya jñānāñjana shalākaya chakṣurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stāpitam yena bhūtale svayam rūpa kadamayam dadāti svapadāntikam vandeham shri guru shri uta padakamalam shri gurun vaiṣṇavāmśca shri rūpam sāgrajātam sahagana raghunāthānvitam tam sajīvam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namasute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we are discussing the journey of a highly entangled householder, how he is progressing gradually towards the dreaded D word, which is death. The term that is used in medical terminology is terminal restlessness. It's a symptom shown before a person leaves the body. So all that is being described here in this verse. How verse 16 talks about how the person's eyes bulge out due to pressure from air within. The first indication we can see. The second is his windpipe is congested with mucus. He is having difficulty breathing. And upon exhaling and inhaling, he is producing a sound, gura gura, a rattling from the throat. These are further signs. These are happening inside his body. And just to add to the commotion which is happening inside, there is some commotion happening outside. Prabhupada describes in the purport, just for formality's sake, his relatives come. His relatives could be his father, parents, sons, grandsons. We don't know at what age the person is dying. So he is surrounded by his relatives. And everyone is trying to show some sympathy by calling out to this person. And because this attached householder was not practicing Krishna consciousness, He has a lot of desires to fulfill. So, and he is expressing those desires to and he is trying to express them to his family members. Even at the stage of leaving his body, he still has desires and he is trying to express himself. But because the vehicle in which he is situated, the body, is not cooperating, the desire is there, the organ, mouth, the throat, windpipe, they are not cooperating. So the sound is getting vibrated at the level of desire, but the organs that are meant to produce the sound, they are not cooperating. So we can vibrate at different levels, at the level of our desires, then at the level of our intellect, then at the level of mind, and then the organ which is actually producing. So here we can see towards the final moments, the organs are not functioning, but the mind still has a lot of desires, and he is trying to convey those desires to his relatives who are around him. And then the fact that he is not able to do this because the organ is not cooperating, that gives him more pain. And it is adding to the already painful situation. When they teach, we are not the body, we are soul. Here we can see actually how the soul wants to speak, but the body is not cooperating. So let us not wait till the death to learn the lesson of we are not this body, we are spirit soul, but try to learn when we are in this body in a stable condition. So this fact that he is not able to express his desires, that is producing more and more grief. And the cycle is going to continue because he has not fixed his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's what Krishna says in the Gita, the chapter Attaining the Supreme. Whatever thoughts you have at the time of death, that's where you go. Yam yam vapi smaran bhava tyajantyante kalevaram. So if you think of the demigods, you go to their planet. If you think of the ghosts, you go to the ghostly planet. If you think of the ancestors, you go to their ancestry planets. And if you think of me, you will come to me. Here this attached person who's got so many desires, he is still in that level of desiring and he is still vibrating in that platform where he wants to convey things to others, but he is not able to do. And in that pitiable condition, his agony is increasing and increasing further. And there is no chance of him remembering the Lord. Why are we supposed to discuss all these in great detail in Srimad Bhagavatam? A couple of days ago, Gangeshwar Prabhu gave a nice graphic example of his own experiences, and then he told why such things are needed. So thinking in those lines, I was going through Bhagavad Gita. It was in chapter 13 where Krishna gives a list of things which are, he describes as knowledge, items which are described as knowledge. It starts off with humility, pridelessness. When I was going through the list of characteristics that is described, so many characteristics are naturally forced upon you, like humility. At the time of death, you are so humbled. When you don't become naturally humble, in the form of death, Krishna humbles you. You've taken away, things are taken away from you and you don't have any pride left. You may still hold on to it, but things are gradually going. So at least you start to get to the platform of pridelessness. And then at that point you cannot be harming anybody, so you are naturally following ahimsa. You are tolerating so many inconveniences, so tolerance is there. At that time at least, one has to come to the platform of understanding the pain of birth, death, old age and disease. Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, Dukkha, Doshanu, Darshanam. In the same list, Krishna goes on to describe how one has to detach oneself from family. Putra, Dhara, Grihadishu. So here we see the householder being surrounded by, the attached householder being surrounded by his relatives, and Krishna describes how one has to detach himself from such attachments, at least at the time of death. And this is described as the items of knowledge. Prabhupada describes in the purport, one should try to understand the distress of accepting birth, death, old age and disease. There are descriptions in various literatures of birth. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the world of the unborn, the child's stay in the womb of the mother, its suffering, etc. are all very graphically described. It should be thoroughly understood that birth is distressful. Because we forget how much distress we have suffered within the womb of the mother, we do not make any solution to the repetition of birth and death. Similarly, at the time of death, there are all kinds of sufferings, and they are also mentioned in authoritative scriptures. That's what we are going through. What are the distressful conditions that one has to go through? And Prabhupada puts in this instructive line. These should be discussed. As far as disease and old age are concerned, everyone gets practical experience. No one wants to be deceased and no one wants to become old, but there is no avoiding this. So this brings about why such topics are being there in the Srimad Bhagavatam and why they are being discussed. In fact, Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the enquiry of a person who is about to face death in 7 days. And looking at the history of this particular person, and we all know who that person is. Who is that? Maharaj Parikshit. Hari go. So Parikshit Maharaj, before even taking birth, he had a near-death experience. Can someone describe it? You want to share something? How did Parikshit have a near-death experience when he was in his womb? Yes, Ashwatthama. So many hands going up here. Yes, Krishna. Ashwatthama through a Brahmastra. Very good. So where was Parikshit at that time? Not born yet. He was still in the womb of his mother. What's his mother's name? Do you remember? Uttara. You have another hand going up. Uttara. So, interestingly, the word Uttara is also mentioned in the 16th verse, which the word Uttara in this context means eyes. So, Bhagavatam begins with the storyline of Krishna's pastimes in Bhagavatam begins with this adventure of a mother running towards Krishna when he is about to leave. Running towards Krishna, calling out, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin Deva Deva Jagatpate Nanyam Tvat Abhayam Pashye Yatra Mrityu Parasparam. Mother Uttara is running towards Krishna and she is begging, my dear Lord, if you so desire, please save the child in my womb. I may die, I don't care, but at least if you so desire, please save the child in my womb. It said that Mother Uttara did not enter into the fire along the husband, Abhimanyu, because she was pregnant at that time. So now she's saying, I don't care to live, but at least protect the child. So that's how it begins. And here is when Krishna, being the all-merciful Lord, he is present as Paramatma inside everybody. So he enters into the womb of Uttara and saves Maharaj Parikshit. Because Maharaj Parikshit was protected by the Lord in his womb, and he was able to tolerate the heat of the Brahmastra, and because he was protected, his name was Vishnu Rata. That's how Bhagavatam begins, with a near-death experience and also the Lord's protection. Poshanam is one of the topics in Srimad Bhagavatam. We can see that being throughout the Bhagavatam, we see how the Lord protects his devotees when they are in danger. So it is described how the Lord entered the womb and Parikshit was able to see. At that time the Lord was only to the size of a thumb, angushta matra mamalam. So he entered the womb, he protected. Interestingly enough, that incidence will lead to the prayers. So after having protected his devotees, again Krishna will decide to leave. That's when Mother Kunti recites her famous prayers. We'll try to look at few of the prayers and how they are related to the cycle of birth and death. The very famous prayer, Vipata Shantuta Shashvat Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru Bhavato Darshanam Yatsya A Punar Bhava Darshanam. I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. So Mother Kunti is bringing out this point, how the repetition of birth and death can only be counteracted by remembering Krishna. This remembrance cannot happen all of a sudden when we are in the deathbed. It has to be practiced throughout one's life. So Prabhupada in the purport describes how calamities are there and they are welcome because they give us an opportunity to remember the Lord, which means liberation. One who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are accepted as the most suitable boat for crossing the ocean of nescience, can achieve liberation as easily as one leaps over the holes made by the hoofs of a calf. So here we see the calamity, the biggest calamity of an attached person is leaving his own body. And if he is intelligent enough, if he has the desire to find a permanent solution to the problem of birth and death, he can take, at least start to desire to think about the Lord. And that is what is going to end the repeated birth and death. Mother Kunti goes on to pray and she sings another prayer. Shinvanti gayanti granantya bhikshmashaha smaranti nandanti tavehi taunjana taeva pashyanta chirena tavakam bhava pravaho paramo padambujam. Bhava pravaha, the current of rebirth. And what is the solution she mentions? Shinvanti gayanti granantya bhikshmashaha. O Krishna, those who constantly hear, chant and repeat your transcendental activities. So if we can't do that, what can we do? She gives another option. Or take pleasure in others doing so. What is the result? What is in it for me? You can certainly see your lotus feet. If you can't chant yourself, at least if you are able to get into the company of devotees who are chanting the glories of the Lord, his pastimes, surely they will see your lotus feet. And now what is in it for me? One who is suffering from the cycle of birth and death, that seeing the feet of the Lord takes one out of the repetition of birth and death. So, just when we are appreciating the prayers, the storyline continues, and when Pandavas were about to relax and breathe easily, more dangers are going to come. So, Bhagavatam proceeds with the next chapter, and it is 1.9. It is titled "The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev in the Presence of Lord Krishna." Again, we are going to see the passing away of an exalted person. There are similarities which are described in this verse and the passing away of Bhishma. Very few similarities. But the level of consciousness which Bhishma Dev had when he was leaving his body, it was very, very exalted. We'll try to see that particular pastime and also see some of the prayers of Bhishma Dev as well. Verse number 17, we talked about how the attached householder who has not progressed in spiritual life, he is also surrounded by relatives, friends, and he is trying to speak something to them and he is not able to. In the battle of Kurukshetra, Bhishma Dev is lying in a bed of arrows, and many of them know that Bhishma Dev is going to leave his body. So great exalted personalities are coming to see him, not mundane friends who are going to cry. The list of sages are given in Bhagavatam: Parvata Muni, Narad Muni, Vyasa, Bharadvasha, Parashurama, Vashishta. So the list goes on. Kashyapa, Angira. So Bhishma Dev, being the bed of arrows, still he follows the etiquette of receiving guests. He smiles at them, he gestures, and he welcomes them. And simultaneously, our hero of Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna, he's just got introduced into the scene. Now he is going to perform more heroic. First heroic activity is entering into the womb and protecting. And now, as usual, he is going to promote his devotees to become the hero, Bhaktavatsala. Maharaj Yudhishthir was in so much of anxiety because he was regretting that because of me, so many soldiers have died in the battlefield. Actually, the figure is given in the Bhagavatam. 640 million. Maybe that's how it is. 640 followed by 6 zeros. Is that correct? 640 million. King Yudhishthira mourns the wars. 640 million dead. That's one of the topics that's there. So, obviously, Maharaj Yudhishthira was not happy with his own action. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna was able to remove the ignorance of Arjuna and give him the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. And he is capable of removing Maharaj Yudhishthira's ignorance as well. It is said that Vyasadeva tried to console Yudhishthira, Lord Krishna also tried to console, but still, Krishna did not fully try to console him. Why? Because he wanted Yudhishthira to be consoled by Bhishma Dev. Why Bhishma Dev? Because Bhishma Dev is also an exalted devotee and it is time for him to depart. And Krishna wanted to give pleasure to Bhishma Dev, and so he made sure that the Pandavas are dressed up really nicely in their royal dress. Bhishma Dev will be very happy in seeing Pandavas in a happy situation. As Kunti Devi in her prayers described how many calamities they went through. Dronyastra. So there are so many, they have to face one after the other, one after the other. And now Bhishma Dev is going to see the Pandavas dressed up nicely. So, the whole idea is to make sure that Bhishma Dev consoles Yudhishthir, and also Bhishma Dev is going to speak wonderful instructions to Maharaj Yudhishthir. He is not like this person that we are discussing in the current verse. His desires are not material. He has got spiritual desires and he can vibrate at the level of desire. His intellect is clear, his mind is fixed on the feet of the Lord, and his organs are also working. So what's going to come out is wonderful instructions and also wonderful prayers which Bhishma Dev is going to address the Lord when he's... So Pandavas arrive along with Krishna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra where Bhishma Dev is lying down. And as soon as he sees Pandavas, he was overcome by emotions. We always see Bhishma Dev as a grave person, but his heart is now soft and he is starting to shed tears, and now he starts to empathize with the sorrows which the Pandavas have gone through. Aho kashtam, aho anyayam, yad yuyam dharma nandanaha, jeevitum narhata klishtum, vipra dharma achyuta ashraya. Whatever, so much calamities you went through, despite the fact that Yudhishthir, you yourself being an embodiment of religion, so many calamities you went through. Why? This is a very nice section where devotees can take lessons and understand why even such exalted people are put through calamities. It is said that Bhishma Dev explains that it is the plan of the Lord. One accepts that as a plan of the Lord, despite being empowered. You have Bhima, the biggest warrior, Arjuna, and Krishna himself giving counseling to you. Despite that, you suffered. It must be the plan of the Lord. And Bhishma Dev goes on to say how the plan of the Lord is inconceivable. So in those sections, we understand that when trying to teach the general public, Krishna puts his own devotees into difficulties and thereby teaches others how to handle such situations. And those sufferings which the devotees are enjoying are not like normal karmic reactions. When a person is suffering from a karmic reaction, he will have more desires to enjoy this material world. Whereas when Lord puts devotees into suffering, it is different in that sense. The desire to enjoy this world further, that is taken away. So that's the difference between the karmic reaction, suffering due to karmic reaction, and sufferings due to imposed by the Lord. That's how we understand why Lord sometimes puts his own devotees into trouble. Srila Prabhupada also uses this analogy, how a mother will chastise her own daughter so that the daughter-in-law can learn the lesson. So the relationship with daughter-in-law, if she is new, it may not be so close to chastise directly. So the mother will indirectly chastise the daughter so that the intelligent daughter-in-law picks it up and corrects herself. So Bhishma Dev then empathizes with the Pandavas and also starts to instruct Yudhishthir on different matters like Varnashram Dharma, how one should conduct oneself in the Varnashram, then how women should behave, and various topics which include dealings in politics and how a king should rule over his kingdom, and he is able to do it in his deathbed. That is something to be noted, where it's not that due to suffering words are not coming out, unlike what's happening in the current verse. So he starts to describe the ways in which one has to give charity, how one has to rule as a king, and how one has to go towards moksha, moksha dharma, stri dharma, then about Bhagavad dharma as well. He stresses the occupational duties and how it is done differently for different varna and ashrama. Then Maharaj Yudhishthir is being consoled, understanding that the people who have died in this battle, they are not going to suffer. It is said that the people who are dying in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they were seeing the beautiful form of Parthasarathi. This form was not even seen by Arjuna, because he is seeing only the backside when he was driving. So Bhishma Dev and others who are on the other side, they were able to see this beautiful form of Parthasarathi. It is described how, because of his labor and sweat is starting to come in the head of Krishna, his curly hair was there, and the mud from the battlefield is also in his face. And combined with the blood which is coming up from Krishna's body, because Bhishma Dev did not spare Krishna also. He is in Virya Rasa, so he attacked Krishna also at some stage. And he describes how that beautiful scene, the evening sun is shining, and it is a different rasa. He is in Virya Rasa and he is able to enjoy this particular scene. And Bhishma Dev is slowly now starting to remember that. Now, after giving instructions to Yudhishthir, Bhishma Dev recognizes, my time has come. Here Pandavas are with me, Lord Krishna is with me, and here is when we have to learn a lesson. When it is time for us to depart, is described as to how that man who spoke on thousands of subjects, fought thousands of battles, withdrew his mind and focused on the Lord. When the time comes, we have to be detached. And that's what Bhishma Dev is teaching. He spoke on many things, but when it is time, we have to safeguard our own personal life, personal sadhana, spiritual well-being. It is we only are responsible for that. If detachment is going to help us do that, so we should not hesitate to be detached and focus on the lotus feet of the Lord. So that's what Bhishma Dev is doing. After giving all those instructions, when the time comes, the sun is starting to change its course. Bhishma Dev knew that it is time for me to leave. So he starts to pray to the Lord. We'll try to see few prayers from his glorious prayers. This is 1932. Sri Bhishma Vacha Iti Mati Rupa Kalpita Vitrishna Bhagavati Sattvata Pungave Vibhumni Swasukam Upagate Kvachit Vihartum Prakritim Upe Yushi Yad Bhava Pravaha. Bhishma Dev said, let me now invest my thinking, feeling and willing, which were so long engaged in different subjects and occupational duties, in the all-powerful Lord Sri Krishna. So here is where he is telling us by example how one has to invest his thinking, feeling and willing. And what were they doing before? They were engaged in so many other subject matters. Now what is he going to do? He is going to focus on the feet of the Lord. Now, Bhishma Dev goes on to describe how Lord Krishna is. He is self-satisfied, but sometimes being the leader of the devotees, he enjoys transcendental pleasure by descending on the material world although for him only the material world is created. So we'll focus on those verses where Bhishma Dev talks about getting out of the cycle of birth and death. And interestingly enough, Prabhupada describes death as a sleep for 7 months, an unconscious state for 7 months, and then you wake up and you find yourself uncomfortable in a tightly packed position. And that is, now you feel that you are in the womb of another mother. So that is how death is described. Bhishma Dev describes the attractive bodily features of Krishna, how he is of the dark complexion of a Tamala tree. And he is saying about why Krishna is here. After all, I am such a lowly person. This shows the humility of Bhishma Dev. Prabhupada writes in the purport that it is sure that Bhishma Dev is going to go to Vaikuntha. But still, he is humble enough and he prays to the Lord, please be present before me and let me meditate on you. This form of Parthasarathi I cannot see anymore when I leave my body. So, please be present before me. Bhishma Dev describes how the Lord was obedient to Arjuna's orders. And he also describes the good fortune of the soldiers. The Lord, just by glancing at the army of Kauravas, reduced their lifespan. Just by glancing. Bhishma Dev, being a transcendental personality, could understand all this. And he also said they also got liberated. And that's how Krishna is impartial. Now, Bhishma Dev did not hold any hatred or anger towards Krishna even though they were fighting in the battlefield. So at the time of death, whatever hatred, anger, misgivings that we have towards others should be given up. And for that matter, we don't have to wait till death to give up those ill feelings towards other devotees. Because we don't know when we will die, and if we don't have a good circle of devotees around us, we may not be fortunate enough as Bhishma Dev to choose our own time of death. We may not have the same physical strength as what Bhishma Dev is having so that he can lie on the bed of arrows and speak philosophy and offer prayers and leave the body. Our consciousness may not be so great. Prabhupada often quotes this verse from Mukunta Mala Stotra. That came to my mind when I was reading this verse. Krishna padiya padapankaja pancharantam advayame vishato manasa raja hamsa prana prayana samaye kapavata pitta. Prabhupada often used to quote this and sing this in when he was alone. The purport. So this Mukunta Mala Sotra, only the first section was translated and purport was given by Srila Prabhupada. Later on, the verses were translated and purport was given by his disciples. So his disciples recollect how Srila Prabhupada used to constantly sing this. And even it's there in one of the audio form as well. Prana prayana samaye kapavata pitta. So Prabhupada nicely sings. Kanta varota vidau smaranam kutaste. O Lord Krishna, at this moment, let the royal swan of my mind enter the tangled stems of your lotus feet. This is Maharaj Kulashekar singing to the Lord. He is showing how we should pray when we are healthy. He is saying, how will it be possible for me to remember you at the time of death when my throat will be choked up with mucus, bile and air? Kanta varota vidau smaranam kutaste. How can I remember you at the time of death? The same symptoms have been described. Prana prayana samaye. The time has come to leave. How do we know the symptoms? Grey hair. shaking of teeth, vision being dimmed, organs not functioning, digestive power going down. More descriptions are given when Vidura will chastise Dhritarashtra. All that he will describe, and he will say, why are you still eating in the same place like a dog? You are eating in the hands of the same person who you tried to kill. Give up this body, get up and go to forest and perform. So, the point I was trying to make is, we may not be so exalted to choose the time that we are going to leave the body. But what we can do is, when we are leaving, have good relationship with those devotees, with everybody. His Grace Radhisham Prabhu used to say, with every devotee you should at least have a Haribol level of relationship. You may not have all six loving exchanges with all devotees throughout your life, but at least have a Hare Krishna, Haribol relationship. And the Brahmachari leader was saying, especially he said, Adi Purushadas, this is meant for you. Because at that time my relationships were not so great with the devotee. He said, if the devotee who you are having a fight with or you are not happy with, if he is the only person next to you at the time of leaving your body, what will you do? Will you turn your face away from him and show anger? Because they are the ones who are going to sing the name of Krishna to your ears. They are the ones who are going to show the picture of the Lord to you. They are the ones who are going to pour the Lord's Charanamrita in your mouth. If you are going to have bad relationship with devotees, who is going to save you at the time of death? Now you are young, you are jumping like this. You don't know when you will die. And we may not be as fortunate as Mahajans like Bhishma Dev, where they can choose when they want to leave, how they want to leave, and Krishna will come in front and give darshan, and he is offering prayers, and no, for us we are not so exalted. At least the devotees, if they are around us, that is as good as seeing the Lord, because they will be chanting Krishna's names. They will give charanamrita to you. They will show the picture of the Lord to you, and they will be chanting, they will be praying for you. So, while we are with devotees, let us try to make it a point that if this is going to be my last few moments, then that fear, at least, if fear is going to help us give up our misgivings and other hatred towards others, and let us take this opportunity to beg for forgiveness when we are dealing with devotees. And Srila Prabhupada personally demonstrated this quality. Initial days when he tried to get support from his god brothers, several times he tried and did not work. So then he took his own course and started a big movement. But towards the end of his life, before leaving the body, he called for his god brothers. And what did he do? He begged for forgiveness. Srila Prabhupada not only taught us how to live in this world, he also taught us how to leave this world. So we don't have to wait till death comes to beg for forgiveness from other devotees. Knowingly or unknowingly, due to our conditioning, we do a lot of mistakes. That is one of the reasons why we say Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya in the morning. Knowingly or unknowingly, I might have committed so many offenses to other devotees. Let me beg forgiveness for that. Let me give up or attempt to give up the hatred, misgivings, whatever it is. So conditioning gives you all the negative qualities. So let the knowledge of the scriptures guide us towards begging for forgiveness. Let the knowledge guide us towards humility, pridelessness, absence from false ego, detachment. And how do family members apply this principle? Now, if you have to support somebody who is leaving this body, what is meant to do? What are we meant to do? Prabhupada gives his instruction about how family members can practice Krishna consciousness when they are in the family. So this is again from the items of knowledge, so 13th chapter verse 8 to 12, when describing detachment from family. Prabhupada describes, as far as detachment from children, wife and home, it is not meant that one should have no feelings for these. They are natural objects of affection, but when they are not favorable to spiritual progress, then one should not be attached to them. The best process for making the home pleasant in Krishna is Krishna consciousness. If one is in full Krishna consciousness, he can make his home very happy, because this process of Krishna consciousness is very easy. One need only chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that's the first step. Accept the remnants of footsteps offered to Krishna. That's the second. Have some discussions on books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And the fourth is engage oneself in deity worship. These four things will make one happy. When you are living in a family, if you are able to practice these four, when you are leaving the family, also the family members around you, because you have done this lifestyle, they will help you to depart this world. If you are able to practice the four things which Prabhupada said, when we are living in household life, when it is time for us to detach and when it is time for us to bid goodbye to some other person who has lived with us in the same Brahmacharya ashram or Grihastha ashram or whatever it is, these are the things that we should be doing, chanting Hare Krishna. We do not know which organ is functioning, which organ is not functioning. We may not understand what they are trying to say, and they may not also fully be in a frame of mind where they can remember Krishna. But Krishna does promise that if a devotee forgets me at the time of death, I will remember him. And this is said in many, many times. Name Bhaktaha Pranashyati. And in ISKCON, we have the facility of hospice. Many of you would have heard how people in their elderly age, they can go and settle down in Vrindavan, and you can be taken care by devotees. And thereby, you can plan how to leave this world. That facility is also there. People can do a bit of research on their own. It's called hospice. It's in Vrindavan, but it is guided by Bhaktivedanta Hospital in Mumbai. Just as you book your flight tickets to go to a different destination, when it's time to leave this world, it's better to be surrounded by devotees, and in that way you secure your position and not die like an attached householder who has still material desires attached to him. I'll stop there and ask if there are any questions.
We just read last night that Vrindavan temple has started an assisted living ashram.
Okay. When Vrindavan we are having. Yeah, I've just looked up ISKCON Hospice. Bhaktivedanta Hospital is doing that as a service. So within the organization we do have that support for persons who want to leave this world in a peaceful way. Yes. If you leave body in Bauma Vrindavan, which is near Delhi, you go to Goloka Vrindavan directly. Seeing the pastime of Ajamil and also reading from Srila Prabhupada's other purports, we see that when we say that we go back to Godhead, it will happen. If you are purified enough, then if not, you will take birth And you are still on the path way back home, back to Godhead. It's not that immediately the Vishnu Dudas will come in an airplane and pick you up if you die in Vrindavan. And for that matter, I've heard many stories of people going to Vrindavan, trying to leave their body, and the relatives will wait, and he will not depart, and they'll come back to Delhi, and after coming to Delhi, they'll leave their body. It's a sad thing. They were fortunate, the intention was there. So even to leave the body in Vrindavan, it's not, you must have done some lot of pious things. It does provide a very, very favorable situation. But will you immediately board the plane and go? No, it may take more lifetime, but you will definitely be placed in a better situation than others. And other sections of Prabhupada describes, probably the 10th canto, where you take birth in a place where the Lord's pastimes are going on in this material world, get guided by the close associates of the Lord, then you go back. Yes, Krishna. Do you have an answer or a question? Question. Okay. His remembrance?
He said that he is out of months.
Out of months, I am Marga Sirisha, yes.
Yeah.
What is the significance? The question is, Krishna says, out of the months, I am Marga Sirisha. What is the significance? Coming from a South Indian background, the Marga Sirisha translates to Margari. That's when the devotional activities of the Lord are performed, and that will be the primary driving factor for that entire month. I don't know, in Gaudiya Vaishnava calendar also we have this as a month of Kartik. Others can correct me if I'm wrong. Where the spiritual activities are given the prime importance, and you do spiritual activities like you sing Damodar Ashtakam, and we come and offer lamps to the Lord, and that becomes a primary source of inspiration for that entire month. But personally, I have to read further. To anyone else wants to answer why Krishna says that? But yeah, well, the chapter of attaining the Supreme, Krishna describes a lot of permutation combinations, like when the sun is in the particular direction, if you leave, so that's how Bhishma Dev chooses that particular time, and he had that choice, whereas we don't. Any other questions? How does a person who is attached to the material world thinks that he can enjoy more in this life? First is due to lack of knowledge about spiritual happiness. Even in the previous verses that describe how even if he is put in a hellish condition, he gets adjusted to it and then he starts to enjoy. Whatever body he gets, he tries to maximize his enjoyment. The root cause of that is ignorance. Then due to ignorance he commits fruitive activities, and when it goes to a bit of an extreme, there is some amount of initial pleasure that you get when you have your own earnings, then you have your own home, then spouse, children, there is some amount of happiness there. as Prabhupada explains in the Items of Knowledge purport, he says how that same things which might entangle you, if you are using it therapeutically, you can come out of it. But if you don't, you get entangled further and further. So that is how he enjoys, attached person enjoys a particular type of rasa which keeps him bound in this particular situation. But at some stage, if he feels that, okay, I am not satisfied and I want to come out of it, even with that particular desire, he will get some spiritual help, because Paramatma is there. As I described, no, we vibrate in different levels. So that is important, like what desires we have as the spiritual level, what desires we have at the intellectual level, at the mental level, and what are we vibrating, because initially it all starts from desire. So when this person who is attached, he desires to get out, then help is sent through the form of devotees, through books and other things, but he has to start somewhere. And what keeps him entangled is that meager pleasure that he gets, and he thinks that as ultimate. So it can be overcome by ignorance. So ignorance can be overcome by knowledge, and that knowledge is given through shastras, and we get this by the mercy of devotees. So that's how he goes out. So when he starts to come out of the karmic cycle, if he takes up devotional service, then when he comes to the point of initiation, at that stage, Krishna does say that the time of Diksha, we surrender to the spiritual master, and the reactions are observed by Krishna through the medium of the spiritual master. But still some token reaction is kept, so that we have this material body and we practice devotional service and in this particular body, so that when we go to spiritual world, we can do the same things. So that's how, that's the difference. So sufferings by imposed by Krishna. So even though karma is taken, devotees still suffer. Why? Because Krishna is trying to teach something. And that suffering will not produce further desires. It said that, Ichchapidam Nichapadapallam. Krishna, even though a person asking for material things approaches Krishna, Satyam Dishat Nitamarti Ponutam Naivartitoya Punaratitayata Swayam vidatte bhajatam anichitam ichchapidam nijapada pallavam. Krishna does fulfill the desires of a person who is approaching him with such desires. It is truth. But he fulfills in such a way that the person gets satisfaction. Ichchapidanam. Even though the person did not ask for the feet of Lord Krishna, Krishna gives it. Ichchapidanam nijapada pallavam. So then what happens? The person takes shelter of the feet of Lord, and that gives him satisfaction. Acharyas explain how a person who is eating mud, he can be told to stop, but if you give him milk sweet, he will naturally give up mud and start taking milk sweet. So that's a technique of Krishna. To give up material taste, Krishna gives the taste of his own feet, and that satisfies the heart of even attached person. And thereby he gives up attachment. So we are going to read further in Bhagavatam how Dhruva Maharaj is one such example. He approached the Lord with a pure material motive, but after seeing the Lord, he said, I was looking for broken pieces of glasses. Now I don't want that. I want your lotus feet. Like that. So the question is, if I don't get along with devotees or outsiders? If I don't get along with devotees, how should I change my mindset? Shankara Shastras and Bhagavatam describes how one has to behave with different levels of devotees. So we are having difficulties with superiors, and then there's difficulty with peers and difficulty with juniors. So which section, to be more specific, you have difficulties, or in general? In general, okay. So I'll have to give a general answer. That's why. Prema, Maitra, Kripa, Upeksha. So you show respect, awe and reverence towards your superiors. With peers, friendship, and mercy towards your juniors. So that is one way where you have a relationship with them, as I was mentioning earlier. This should not go to a point where we don't even have a Hare Krishna Hari Bol relationship. We don't necessarily have to agree with all of that, but it should not come in the point of we having a good relationship. Interestingly enough, when I was thinking about Bhishma Dev, I cannot go and approach Bhishma Dev as, "Hi my friend, how are you?" like that. He is a grave person, and because he is not responding the way that I like, it doesn't mean that he is not a devotee. His personality is different, his character is different, but the core point is he is a devotee of Krishna. In practical way, you may be an extrovert, the other devotee may be an introvert, or you may be an introvert, the other person may be an extrovert. Some are quick in communication, some are slow in communication. Some think and speak, some speak and then think. So, it depends on different. So, personality-wise, there could be so many things that could create kind of a friction. But the underlying principle is, he is a devotee of Krishna. So, even though when describing the items of knowledge, Krishna describes that the core thing is surrender unto me, that undivided attraction to me. So you see any person, okay, he has got undivided attraction to Krishna, that's what matters. So rest of that, due to my own shortcomings, I'm not able to get along with this devotee at this point. In future, things will change. I'll become more mature and I'll be able to understand. So that is why it's good to know Vaishnava etiquette, the sadachar, means how to behave with different types of devotees, and their characteristics are also described. And many examples are given as to how a person is a unripe mango maturing to become a ripe mango. Other example is that of a person who is taking a shower. He is not completely pure yet, but he is in the process of becoming pure. So, you're also in the same situation, and I'm also in the same situation. I'm maturing in some way, and if my conditioning nature and your conditioning nature are clashing, so that's when the aspect of tolerance, patience, the Vaishnava Sadachar comes as a protective shield. And in modern terms, if you want to see, you can look up this non-violent communication, where you can convey things to people, express your feelings, at the same time not offend them, and you don't have to be a passive person always just tolerating, and one fine day you just burst out everything and things come out. And extreme case, if there is a difference of opinion and there is a verbal clash or something, during the heat of the moment things happen, but after that you pacify yourself and let you be the person who goes first and clarifies and asks for forgiveness. Let us take that first step, and that requires a lot of strength. Instead of thinking why he is not getting along with me, so put yourself in his shoes and think what is making him to respond to me in this particular way. Personally, I have a great length to cover in this area, but with my limited experience, I was advised to take up where Bhakti Sadachar course, where it helped me a lot to deal with people, and also some of the other techniques like communication. Krishna does describe truth has to be told, but it has to be in a palatable way. Satyam, priyam, hitam, chaya. So that's austerity of speech. So you can, even if you're disagreeing with a superior, you don't have to aggressively express it. But because he is superior to you, he might be telling things, and with your level of understanding, you may not be able to understand. But if you still go ahead and do it anyway, and express the fact that you're not comfortable, and ask for guidance, and so then, if the situation is that you can understand, then they can explain. But otherwise, with superiors, if you still go ahead and do it, so then you're pleasing them. With the peers, you can have, like, go on, but let you be the first person to initiate. And we can learn a lot from our juniors. They may be juniors by age. Sukadeva Goswami was junior to many of the persons who were sitting in the assembly and hearing, but still he was giving the talk, and others were hearing. So even with juniors, we can pick so many qualities, because the energy and enthusiasm they have, which mean we may not be having some areas where they are experts, then you are the junior and he is a senior. You must be willing to learn from them also. So all the way boils down to developing qualities like humility, tolerance, and by that you live nicely in the devotee community. These qualities I personally am trying to develop, still long way to go. So I hope it answered your question. Yeah, okay. We'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktavinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.